Well, good morning, everybody. Maybe it's because Independence Day was just the other day, or and partly because of my experiences in Guatemala at our sister parish that I'll tell you a little bit about. But I've just been thinking a lot about dependence and independence, and in light of our readings today, partly as well. But like, the whole universe is designed in such a way that everything is dependent on something or someone. A fish needs water, depends on it for life. We need oxygen. Plants and crops depend upon sunlight and water and soil and climate. Animals, they need water and food, and they need all those things. And my beautiful Glory needs her daily, not daily, but her weekly Happy Meal from McDonald's. She depends on, we just got back from Guatemala, and I thought, you know, there's dogs all over the streets over there. I thought, my God, Glory could not make it a week over here. She's just so bloody spoiled. But anyway, like, we depend upon so many things. Animals, babies. Our first reading has this beautiful image of a mother nursing her child. And God is saying in that scripture, it's kind of like us, that God nurtures us and nurses us and whatever. It's true for children. It's true for adults. We all need other people. A pastor needs his parish, his people in the parish, and the people in the parish need the pastor. It's a connection that our gospel kind of talks about, the laborers in the vineyard. And Archbishop noted that when he was here the other day blessing our chapel, right? But like, we depend upon each other. We all do. And like the pastor there over at Guatemala at our sister parish, I'll tell you a little bit about it in a second, but he's got 27 parishes, and he depends upon literally for food. He lives this gospel because they don't have any money for he lives in a little kind of like lean-to type thing, and there's no money for food, so he actually goes to the people's houses, little very humble abodes, and eats all the meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner with the people, because he has absolutely no money. And so it's very interesting day way of life. But like, we depend upon each other. A mother depends on her children, and her children on her, and the husband on everybody depends on everybody. We're all linked together, which is interesting because it kind of flies flat in the face against what is often promoted in our culture today, not just in the United States, but in many places. The whole independent Lone Ranger thing is held up as the standard, the goal. You can do anything you want. Now go do it. It's all up to you. And it doesn't take long in our lives before we realize that left to ourselves will fail. We need other people. And most of all, we need God. It's interesting, the Declaration of Independence that we just celebrated the other day. It was independence from the British Crown, not from God. In fact, it's very interesting. I wish the history books told the whole story, because September 6th, 1774, 2 years before the Declaration of Independence, the Founding Fathers gathered together for the first time. And according to a letter from John Adams, the first thing they did was pray for 3 hours. And the Founding Fathers declared a continental fast. And they read Psalm 35. And John Adams writes to Abigail, his wife, and says, "You got to read this psalm. It just changed my whole life. And it's going to change this country. It's going to change everything." He said, "Share it with everybody you know." And like, the Founding Fathers knew that if this country was to succeed, it had to be dependent upon God, built on God. The last paragraph: "We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions." And so the very last paragraph there, they appeal to God. They declare, in a sense, their dependence on God. Yes, independence from the British crown, but dependence upon God. I guess I was thinking about this this idea of dependence. We all need it. But there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. We're all dependent on the government. And welfare can be a very good thing when you have somebody who's disabled and has no way of taking care, or somebody who needs a leg up, what have you. It's a bad thing when somebody who could work doesn't and expects to be dependent, just depends upon handouts. It's similar in a various relationships, you know, that where somebody is so utterly dependent on the other person that they don't think for themselves. You know, there's a right way to be dependent and a wrong way. It's no different with sister parishes. We have a sister parish in Guatemala. There's a good way to do it and a bad way to do it. People with great intentions, parishes with wonderful intentions, do things like this. They send over a truckload of brand new shoes to a little pueblo of people who have nothing. And for a while, it's pretty nice. The shoes are pretty cool. But what does it do to the local economy? Well, what about the local shoemakers? All of a sudden, they're out of business. The little business that they did have, they don't have it anymore. Because why? There's a truckload of free shoes for all the kids in town. Parishes do that. We just throw money. We throw money at them and think that that's going to solve everything. That's not a good way to be a sister parish. We're dependent on each other. A better way is what we're planning to do, which is to simply say, what to discern with God, what are some ways that we as a parish can help to form systematic change? Let me tell you a little bit about our sister parish. It's Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is a huge tradition in Mexico, not so much in Guatemala. But in Guatemala, nonetheless, this parish is named after that. And the priest that takes care of it belongs to an organization called the Apostles de la Palabra, which Apostles of the Word, which is an organization that for the very first time when it ever started in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis started here at St. Joseph, probably about 10 years ago. And now it's all over in different parishes with Hispanic communities and things. But it started here, which is kind of cool. So we've been a sister parish with Our Lady Guadalupe for like 10 years or something. But we haven't really done a whole lot with them. So it was kind of neat to go visit. It was also real sad, but also real rewarding in a lot of different ways. I was going to say they don't have anything. Except they do have the faith, and they do have family, and so maybe they have everything. You know, when I was there playing soccer with the kids and just meeting everybody, and I kept thinking, I can see why Jesus said, blessed are the poor. Amen. Because I think a lot of times folks in countries like that, places like that, tend to be happier than we who are rich in the things of this world. But anyway, I was there. They don't have most of their houses are sheet metal that is just kind of thrown around. There's very few places have any electricity. And there are some that do have power lines, but most of the day they're not functioning. There's not a lot of running water in most of the places. There's a river nearby, and so that's where a lot of the water comes from, and it's boiled to be purified, so things, so on. There's not a lot of food, of course, and the river, the thing that moved me the most about that little river was, of course, there's no cars. To get there, you've got to get in a Jeep and ride for a couple hours, not on gravel, but on rocks and mud, to get to this place. And there's no banks, no police, no nothing. So just to get a kind of idea of what our sister parish is like. And the city is 2,000 people. But anyway, when you drive into town, there's this cross. Now it's covered by weeds. But it marks the exact spot where 37 years ago, during the Guatemalan Civil War, they lined up all the boys and all the men in the city of Shell. And one by one, they said, "Are you Catholic?" And those who said no got to live. Those who said yes were shot in the head and thrown into the river. That was only 37 years ago. And I was thinking, as I was hearing all their confessions and saying masses and things, I kept thinking, in their houses, I ate all the meals in the house. I slept in a hammock. Back wasn't doing so good afterwards. But like, I kept thinking, that's their fathers or their grandfathers, their uncles who died just 37 years ago. We're so blessed, folks. We are so, so, so blessed. I kept wishing, man, I wish we could bring all of our kids over there. I don't think they would throw food away anymore. I don't think they'd whine about not going to McDonald's when they want to go to Burger King. You know, I think it could be a wake-up call for everybody. In any event, as I said, they're supremely blessed, though, because of the faith in the family, and the smiles show it. If you have Facebook, look at my Facebook pictures. Most of the kids don't go to school at all. Some go to school through third grade, but then that's when the school stops. So we're looking at different things that we might be able to do. But the good thing about the Catholic Church is we're one body. And there's thousands, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Catholic churches around the world, but we're one body. And good thing for us that we're sistered and brothered up with other places, so that when one body part is in destitution, the others come to the help. And so that's what we'll be doing in some ways as one happy family, brothers, sisters in Christ. I always say to us, it's not we and them. It's just we. And we're one in Jesus. And that's the most beautiful thing about being Catholic, in my opinion. And so, in any event, we're all dependent on each other. That's the whole thing. We are. It's almost like Jesus, when he came, he declared a declaration of dependence, that we must be dependent on each other and on God for happiness, for holiness, for sainthood, for heaven, you name it. We need each other. We need God. And so your homework today is just two things. Reflect upon. Are you somebody that other people can depend on? Like, no matter what mood you're in, what happens, and is it good day, bad day, whether you're feeling good or not feeling so good, can people count on you to be there? Can they depend upon you? And the second question is, can your God depend on you? Can God depend on you? Or do we leave it for somebody else? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.